Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad you're with us. And what do we do with Live with Lon? Tell me, what do we study? Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. Correct? Yes. Okay. And right now, we're in Matthew chapter 25, covering two parables and a lesson, a teaching that the Lord gave after telling us about the sign of his coming and the events of his return. And one of these was the parable of the 10 virgins, which we covered last week. And now the next one is the parable of the talents that we're going to cover this week, Lord willing. So remember I said to you last week that all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, go immediately from the discussion of what is the sign of your coming to the events of the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas Iscariot's betrayal, etc. Except that Matthew throws in a chapter, Matthew 25, of two parables and a teaching from the Lord that all relate to this issue of his second coming. You say, why didn't Mark and Luke include them? I don't know. But Matthew did. So before we synchronize all three gospels, synoptic gospels, back together for the events of the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane and the betrayal of Christ, before we do that, we're going to take these three teachings of the Lord, two parables, one instruction, here in Matthew 25, and deal with them because they're important. Now, last week we did the parable of the 10 virgins. Very important what the Lord teaches us there. If you missed it, I urge you to go back and listen to it on our website or on YouTube or whatever. Today we're going to do the parable of the talents. So let's begin Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. New King James Version of the Bible. All right, here we go. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And right away he went on his journey. Now stop. The talents that he gave these servants were not talents such as acting, singing, like dancing, this kind of thing. This was money. A talent was a measure of money, a lot of money in the ancient world. So this was money, this was wealth he gave them, okay? Each according to their own ability. Very interesting statement, because he understood there were different abilities that each of these servants had. They weren't all the same. And so when he comes back, you'll see, he doesn't expect all three servants to have accomplished the exact same thing with this money. He expects more of some than of others because some had more ability than others did. I love that about the Lord. He matches his expectations from us to his understanding of the abilities that he gave us as part of our birth. And he doesn't expect from us what we don't have the ability to do. And I love that about the Lord. It's like 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he will never tempt us beyond what we are able, because he knows what each one of us is able. So what you might be able to withstand, I might not be able to. But that's okay. He's not going to give me yours if I'm not able to. He understands the individuality of each of us. I love that. Okay, now let's move on. Then he who had received the 5 talents of money went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he had received the 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of these servants came and settled up accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And his master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, to reiterate what I said, he said the exact same words to the servant who had only gained 2 talents extra as he did to the one who gained 5. Why? Because he knew their differing abilities. And he knew that for the one who only made 2, that was working up to that servant's ability. He didn't have the abilities of the one who made 5, but he tried just as hard, and he served just as faithfully. And Jesus said the very same words to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. I think that's awesome. So let me say to you, if you see people around you who are accomplishing what looks like more on the human level than you for the Lord, maybe they are out here leading a huge ministry for the Lord, and yet you don't, you don't have that capacity, you know, you don't have those gifts, and maybe you're working in a food pantry, or maybe you're serving meals to homeless people, or maybe you've got a prayer warrior ministry, but it's nothing like on the outside what this other person is doing. Don't worry about it. God is not going to judge you by the abilities of this other person, nor is he going to judge them by your abilities. He's going to judge each one of us how much we accomplished versus how much skill and ability and talent we had that he knew we had to accomplish it. It's individualized. Isn't that great news? Yeah, so don't worry about what another person's accomplishing. That's not what you're going to be compared to and evaluated by in heaven. Praise the Lord. Okay, on we go. And he also, who had received the 1 talent, came and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked and slothful, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore you ought to have put my money with the bankers, and then at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, Jesus has the master say, and give it to him who has 10 talents. The guy who had 5 made 5 more. So the master takes the 1 talent away from this guy and gives it to the guy who already has 10 talents. Why? Listen. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have will be taken away even what he has. What does that mean? Well, here's the point. The guy with 5 talents who made 5 talents more, this guy was producing for the Lord. This guy was using his resources for the Lord. This guy was doing ministry and gaining ground for the Lord and the gospel and the kingdom of God. The slothful servant who buried the talent in the ground was lazy and wasn't using even what he had for the Lord's sake and turning it into ministry and change lives. And so God says, take away his talent, his money, and give it to the guy who's going to use it to advance the gospel and who's going to use it for me and my glory. You understand? God's going to give more to the person who uses it for the glory of God. So, last sentence, last part of the parable, and cast the unprofitable servant, the lazy servant, into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You remember last week we talked about hell being real. And I told you there were several passages where Jesus said there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth and pain and in agony and suffering. Here's one of them. Now, what's the point of the parable? The point of this parable, and I'm going to use my notebook from seminary. I wrote down the point of the parable is that Jesus rewards those who use his goods to multiply for the Lord. He used his goods to multiply for the Lord's service. And that's the point of the parable. While we're waiting for the Lord to return, each one of us has been given talent. And not just money, we have been given money, but we've been given talents, singing, dancing, academics, speaking, teaching, whatever. And what does God expect? He expects us to use them while we're here on earth for the Lord's glory and for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the gospel here on earth. That's the point of the parable. He does not expect us to sit on our money and our talents and our discretionary time and do nothing with it for the Lord, like the guy who had the one and buried it in the ground. That's the point of the parable. All right, now that's as far as we're going to go then in the parable, because we finished it. Now we're going to ask our most important question. What is it? Come on, 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. And today, I've got my big picture of Jackie. Yeah, Jackie Gleason. How sweet it is that the Lord has given us talents and abilities and finances to be used for him, his glory, the advancement of the gospel, while we're waiting either for our life to end here or for his return. Okay, that's the point. Now, the rest of the Bible goes along with this. And I just want to give you a couple of verses to encourage us to do this. When I got saved, when I came to Christ in 1971, my goal in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at UNC Chapel Hill, was to become a research chemist. In fact, my undergraduate degree from Chapel Hill is in chemistry. I have a BS, a Bachelor of Science, in chemistry. I took 60 hours of college chemistry. You only need 120 to graduate. Half of my credits in college were chemistry. And then between physics and math, that was another 30-some. I took hardly anything but math, physics, and mostly chemistry. And when the Lord came in my life, I didn't want to be research chemist anymore. Bubbling out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit was this desire to serve the Lord. Now, I didn't know a thing about how to serve the Lord. Now, I started reading everything I could get my hands on. I read Larkin's book, Dispensationalism Today, which is an incredible book if you've never read it. It's an older work, but it's well worth it to get a copy. Dispensationalism Today by Larkin, L-A-R-K-I-N, and study that book. And a bunch of others. And I kind of knew I needed to learn Greek, and I kind of knew I needed to learn Hebrew, and I kind of knew I needed to learn theology and church history. I had no idea how to learn it, where to go, what to do. There was no internet where you could take things online in 1971. And then I bumped in to some folks who said to me, when I gave my testimony, they were seminary students, and they said, you know, you should go to seminary. I said, what is seminary? They said, oh, we study Greek, we study Hebrew, we study church history, we study theology. And I'm like, really? Where is one of these things? They said, right here in Washington, Capital Bible Seminary. I said, really? So I was working for the Good News Mission. I asked my employer, Dr. William Simmer, if he would give me the mornings off to attend class. I went down there. They told me I had to get a haircut and I should start part-time. I think they were a little afraid of me. And they said, why don't you start part-time and let's see how it goes? I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that was an insult at the time. So I got my haircut and, but I wanted to serve the Lord. This was my all-encompassing passion, was to serve the Lord. And you know what? 52 years later, I'm so glad I used my life that way. Because you can't go back and get it. And I'm so glad God gave me the privilege of doing that with my life full-time vocationally. And I still want to serve the Lord with my life to this day. And I hope you agree with me. So, let me just give you a couple of verses. The first one, which is, when I read it the very first time, I said, that's going to be one of my life verses. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So then, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, I know it by heart, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable. What great words. Immovable. Abounding in the service of the Lord. Because you know the Lord's going to reward you and your service is not in vain in the Lord. And wow, what a great verse that is. And how about Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, verse 19, he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with all that you got, with everything that's in you and me. And we'll hear if we give it. And remember, you're not going to be judged by what I do or what somebody else does, only by what you had the capacity to do and how you lived up to it for the Lord. And we will hear when we get to heaven. I hope. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. There can be no greater thing to hear in eternity than that. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, empower us and motivate us to serve you with everything that's in us, Lord Jesus. Help us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your service. Help us not to get discouraged, Lord, but to serve because we know that we are not serving man, but it is the Lord Christ, Colossians chapter 3, that we serve. And our service will not be in vain when we're serving you. Use this to encourage our hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you next week, I hope, on Live with Lonnie.